Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
All right, let me bring in Josh Kendall. Covers the Falcons for The Athletic, the beat writer. Good follow as well on social media to keep up with all things Falcons going on. He's kind enough to join us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Josh, we appreciate you joining us. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
A lot of ground to cover here and a lot on Jalen Carter, Josh, that I wanted to pick your brain about. First of all, reading your blurb in The Athletic about Jalen, I was trying to interpret whether it was an opinion or whether it was reporting, and I want to make sure I get it right, because the last part of what you wrote was Atlanta fans need to start getting their minds wrapped around the fact that Jalen Carter is not coming to Flowery Branch. Is that opinion or is that reporting?
If I had it to do over again, if I could edit it right here on the air, I would change fact to idea. Because what I want Atlanta fans to understand is that this might not happen. This is not a shoe-in. If I knew for a fact, if I was quote-unquote reporting that the Atlanta Falcons are not taking Jalen Carter, that would have been a story unto itself. So what I wanted to do, now, let me say this. I don't think the Falcons are taking Jalen Carter. I don't think that because of things I can see with my own eyes and sort of things that feel obvious to me and things I've heard. But I have not nailed down that fact enough to say I am reporting the Falcons aren't going to take Jalen Carter. I just don't want Falcons fans sitting there on Thursday night, first round of the draft, and Jalen Carter is slipping and slipping and slipping, and it gets to 8, and everybody's like, hallelujah, here comes Jalen Carter. Because I think Jalen Carter is going to slip to 8, and I think he's going to slip right on by past the Falcons. And I just want Falcons fans to understand that that's a real, real, real strong possibility, in my opinion.
Okay, so let's follow up on that. If we assume there's nothing else legally that comes from the crash, and what we've heard, and we're only trying to piece some of this together, maybe you have more on character concerns from being late to some classes or practices, or who knows, maybe more. What am I missing that seems so egregious that we haven't heard from other talented kids, and this might be the most talented kid in the draft? What am I missing?
Okay, so let me sort of deconstruct the question a little bit, if I can. I want to take the traffic accident out of it. It's a tragic situation. I hate it for everybody involved. It's a poor decision by a college kid. I say that as a college kid who made poor decisions. I mean, I hate it, but I don't think NFL teams are holding that against him. I also do not like using the word character. Character has become such a catch-all to be, you know, anything becomes a character concern. And then some people say, well, he's got poor character and you're a bad human being. I don't want to suggest any of that. I'm saying that there are work ethic and being prepared on Sunday afternoon questions about Jalen Carter in NFL circles. Those questions existed before all this stuff popped up in Indianapolis. And those questions were significantly deepened, I think, at Georgia's Pro Day. So let's take the traffic accident out of it. Let's don't use the word character. Let's talk about the investment that these teams are making in players, particularly players who are taken in the top 10. And if you have any concern about how available and prepared that player is going to be 17 Sundays a year, that's a tough investment to make.
I don't disagree. And Josh Kendall's with us, beat writer for the Falcons. I guess the counter would be, I'll use Kirby's words, and then I'll use Todd McShay as an example. So Kirby talked about his generational talent, and you saw that on the field in the highest level of college football, not the NFL, but we all assume the SEC is the next closest thing. And on those Saturdays, Georgia got the most out of him, whether that was Kirby, Will Muschamp, Glenn Schumann, his teammates. Then Todd McShay, who was the first to bring up the word you and I just threw around, which was character concerns. But McShay came on a podcast this week and said, let's be clear, though, like the guy might have practice questions or work ethic stuff, But on those Saturdays, man, that guy worked harder than anybody. He came back from two injuries that he didn't have to, knowing his draft stock was already solidified. You don't think the Falcons or a bunch of NFL teams think, in the right culture with the right coaches, we can get the best out of this talented guy?
I think that a lot of coaches think that. I also think a lot of coaches have made a lot of poor draft decisions because they thought that very thing. And I think that some coaches are figuring, I mean, as an NFL coach, you really need to remove your ego from the evaluation process, because a lot of teams have gotten in a lot of trouble by saying, I can coach this guy better than everybody else who's coached him. I can get more out of him, whether it's technique, whether it's motivation, whatever it is. I'm the guy who can unlock this guy. I think more coaches have gotten themselves in trouble doing that than have made themselves money. You know, Kirby, I know nothing about what goes on inside of the Georgia program, but I do know that Kirby Smart is invested in his players getting drafted as high as they possibly can. But you just wait until the week after the draft and all the social media posters the Bulldogs put out saying, you know, 5 first-round picks, 14 in the top 4, blah, blah, blah. Number 1 overall pick, Jalen Carter. Kirby Smart would love nothing more than that to happen, and he can push that down the downstream to every other recruit that he's got. So Kirby has a vested interest in selling Jalen Carter stock. So I'm not going to put a ton of weight on that. I would also argue that, and again, I'm watching this out of the side of my eye. I am not the expert here, but I would argue that they did not get 15 great Saturdays from Jalen Carter. They got some great plays, some plays that make you understand why a lot of people think he is the best football player in this draft. But I'm not sure they got 15 great Saturdays.
So that's start to finish. I would say that's subjective, and there's no need to go down the rabbit hole in that. But I would tell you, Josh, watching that team for 3 years with that defense, he's the best player on that defense. And I know that's not what we're talking about, the talent of it. So let's go back to the Kirby part of it. Arthur Smith calls Kirby Smart, and what you said, I would agree publicly. Kirby, it's a recruiting tool to say my kid got picked first or I had 5 first-round picks. But there's also a communication that Kirby wants to have with these coaches in the NFL that they don't want to lose trust in what he's saying because he's just blowing smoke. So Arthur Smith or any of the coaches call Kirby, not the stuff he says publicly, and, hey, shoot me straight on Jalen. If Kirby says to them, yeah, it's a rocky road, but the kid's worth it and the talent's there and you could get it right, would Arthur Smith listen to that word, and would that convince the Falcons any differently?
He might, absolutely. I don't know. I don't know how much he is swayed by Kirby or any of those guys and what they tell him versus other bits of intel he grabs. And, you know, this is a difficult, I'm not saying that this is an easy thing or this is a shoe-in. I mean, because put yourselves in Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot's shoes on, again, that Thursday night. Jalen Carter is still on the board at number 8. And you're sitting there, again, this is just hypothetically because I want to paint this picture. You're sitting there thinking, this is the best football player in this draft, but I have some concerns. We're entering year 3, a pivotal year 3 in kind of maybe not make or break, but sort of make or break in whether or not we're going to be here anymore. Do we pick this guy who can be dominant at a premier position in the NFL and a position of need for us? Or are we concerned that we're going to end up with egg on our face? It's not an easy decision. It's just not.
Josh Kendall's with us, Falcons beat writer from The Athletic. He's on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line, and I agree. This is, like, I think you framed it correctly. They might not be battling for a job in year 3, but if year 3 doesn't go well, all of a sudden, year 4 is a very tenuous situation. And I'm going to compare apples to oranges, and it's not fair, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because you said it's more about the work ethic, right? And it's more about some of the things, the red flags on Jalen. So it's probably, again, not fair of me to do this, but I'm just confused about some of the decision-making when it comes to the type of players the Falcons remove and have on their board, right? They were all gung-ho, as much as they'll deny it, on Deshaun Watson, and that was going to be a done deal if the Browns didn't come in with the Godfather offer. What is their decision-making year to year on the type of players that they will cross off or they will say we want being a part of our franchise?
Well, I think that I can't give you the answer because I can't get inside their head. I think a lot of people have drawn the parallels, have said, why yes, Deshaun Watson, why no, Lamar Jackson? my opinion, the Lamar Jackson decision is strictly a business decision. The NFL and its owners are just not willing, 31 of the NFL owners, I should say, are not willing to play ball on guaranteed, fully guaranteed contracts. And if you're talking about a fully guaranteed contract, they don't even want to get in the room with you for fear that they somehow shed some legitimacy on the idea that they might ever in the future give a fully guaranteed contract. So I think for me, that's the separator between Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson. In general, you know, I think that the Falcons are looking for a certain type of work ethic. I mean, you look at the guys that they've paid, really paid, Jake Matthews, Grady Jarrett, and Chris Lindstrom. Now, defensive tackle and left tackle are premier positions in the league. Right guard is not. They just made Chris Lindstrom the highest paid guard in the NFL. A lot of the nerds and the analytics people and the numbers people will say, you are silly to pay premium money for guard. The Falcons have said, this is a guy who does it 7 days a week the way we ask him to do it, with no wavering in that, and we're going to reward him in that. So you may not think it's a premium position. You may not think we're getting that much value on a Sunday afternoon, but we think we're getting that type of value Monday morning until Sunday night. So those are the types of players that they want to be bringing in, that they want to be rewarding. Caden Ellis, you know, that's not a guy whose name we heard a lot 2 weeks ago. Anybody, nobody was talking about Caden Ellis 2 weeks ago. This guy's had about half a season of standout NFL play in 4 years. You know, for me, that's the guy that I'm circling to say, is, you know, are they targeting the right guys?
And it's a fair conversation. So let's finish up with this, Josh, because I don't know. I'm not there as much as I used to be. I'm removed from it. But the Deshaun thing a year ago felt like Arthur Blank had his fingertips involved in it. Let's jump the line. Let's go get this. I don't know that Arthur would care enough about the public relations pushback, but there is also the angle, if we take it back to Jalen, of if they don't take him, he ends up 9 to the Bears or 10 to the Eagles or wherever he goes, and he turns into the star that the talent is, and you passed on the Georgia guy who was the star, and you had the need, and like the 15 things that could have fit. Boy, it's tough coming back from that one again.
It is. It goes back to what I'm saying. It's a difficult situation, and it's hard when you're running these organizations. It's got to be hard not to hear all those voices and hear all those very same things in your ear as you're making a decision. But I mean, I've seen Arthur Smith stand at a podium half dozen or more times and talk about the need to remove all of that from your decision-making, the need to remove emotion from your decision-making, the need to see things clearly and without all these other factors. The fact that Jalen Carter went to Georgia, that shouldn't matter to the Atlanta Falcons.
Shouldn't matter at all.
I understand. I understand the history of this, and I understand why it does, and I understand why they're hearing that voice in their ear. But if they're going to be true to what they say their decision-making process is, they're not going to be thinking about that one way or the other.
The good news for me is I just get to second guess whatever they do. I'm not held responsible if they get it right or wrong. Josh does, like I said, a phenomenal job. Check him out at The Athletic and on social media, on Twitter is a great follow. Josh Kendall there does a phenomenal job. Josh, it's a pleasure. Thanks for the time. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks for having me.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.